The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Oh, from beautiful, sexy Burbank, California, this is episode 2 of Hot Sizzling Nights. I'm Ken Knapsack. How are you guys doing out there? I have a very special guest for Hot Sizzler Nights. It is a Josh, not the Josh I had expected for the second episode. A little scheduling change. It is Josh McCouga.
Hey, Ken. I'm psyched to be here on Hot Sizzler Nights.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a couple nights out there, Ken, where, they've been sizzling. I'm 17 years old in the backseat of my 1987 Toyota Celica. It was a little tight because it's only two doors with a hatchback. But I'll tell you what, that was one hot sizzling night. Yeah. I don't want to tell the girl's name, but let's just say it started with a K.
Leave it at that for legal reasons.
I don't want to sell her out there.
Josh McCouga, when's the last time you've ever been inside a sizzler?
Well, Ken, I was telling you at the table, we had these restaurants in Pittsburgh called Ponderosa.
Now, I've heard of these. Never been, but I've heard of these fabled restaurants.
And Ponderosa looks a lot like the Sizzler.
Mm.
And for a while there, Ponderosas were all over Pittsburgh, and then you'd start seeing some Sizzlers here and there. And then Sizzler started buying up Ponderosa locations and just putting their name on the thing.
Like Apple coming in and just actually more Google, Amazon buying things up.
Yeah, Sizzler, we had this other place called Racks that Arby's kept buying. It was another roast beef place. But we had, it's crazy. It was called Racks, R-A-X. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
So we had Ponderosa, then Sizzler came in. So I got to tell you, my high school gym teacher, he was also the health coach. His name was Mr. Toth. First name, Zoltan.
Zoltan Toth.
Z-O-L-T-A-N.
That sounds like a man who goes to Ponderosa.
Yeah, he loved Ponderosa. Then he was angry about the Sizzler. Then he fell in love with the Sizzler.
Yeah?
And the last time I was at a Sizzler, I did see Zoltan Toth there. I was probably 16 years old, 15 years old.
Wow. So it's been a bit since you've been to a Sizzler.
More than half my life.
Yeah, it's been a bit. Now, are Ponderosa's set up similar to a Sizzler salad bar situation?
Really? Like Sizzler had to just come in and put their name on the building.
Just slap on their logo.
Yeah, they probably kept the same chefs.
Wow. Yeah.
We also had this place called Haas's Steak and Sea House set up exactly like a Sizzler.
Now, Haas's, that sounds like a good meat shop.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you get the meat sweats.
Uh-huh.
We're going to head on down to Haas's. Uncle Jim had a heart attack there a couple years ago. He still goes.
Haas's Steak and Seafood. Haas's.
But we're here.
I got a surf and turf at Haas's.
Yeah,
time,
that sounds and the Sizzler offers a surf and turf option.
Oh,
but the deal is Hot Sizzler Nights is me and a guest, two unlimited salad bars, and we go crazy. And it's about life's choices. So, I want to share a little bit of experience. I want to dive into your choices that you make, I feel you can learn a lot about a person by what they do with the Sizzler salad bar.
Yeah,
and what they do in a Sizzler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk in, you never had cheese toast before.
That was some good cheese toast.
Good cheese toast.
I think if you're going to take toast, which by itself is already pretty good. I
mean, toast is good.
Throw
toast
a little
is a good
butter
creation.
On it. It's a great little thing.
Yeah.
You throw cheese on it. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why garlic bread, there have been wars fought over garlic bread.
Absolutely. And the cheese toast, man, it's melted into it. It's like this weird abomination of bread and cheese.
It's like,
but so good.
The bread never existed without the cheese.
Right. It's you can't separate them.
Yeah.
They're
one. Baked the bread.
It's
with the cheese.
Spiritual union of bread and cheese.
I now pronounce you cheese bread. Yeah.
When you're surveying, you did something that my previous guests, now I've had Lon Harris and some other people just in life I've gone to Sizzle with and not recorded things about, Mark Riley too. You did a survey. You were like a helicopter going over like a forest fire.
Sure.
Yes, compared salad bar to forest fire.
Here's one thing that Sizzler does that not a lot of buffets will do, aka Shakey's or a Vegas seafood buffet on Hollywood and Highland, or even a Vegas buffet in Las Vegas.
Yeah, circus.
Yeah, the Main Street buffet in the New York.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. What Sizzler does, what they don't do, they just give you a plate. And they're like, good luck with this. Sizzler gave you a plate and a really nice soup bowl.
Yeah, soup bowl with a soup spoon.
Where they're like, hey, listen, we made the soup.
Right.
Here's the bowl. Don't forget your soup.
Consider checking out our soup options.
Because when I saw the clam chowder,
Yeah.
I got really excited. But I know for a fact that soup fills me up. So I wanted to make sure that I surveyed the goods.
Yeah.
Made sure I walked around the whole candy store before I went and bought the Reese's Pieces.
And took it in.
Yeah.
That's a good strategy. Now, I've been there a few times recently, so I went right in. But, you know, I think that I admired what you did. Surveyed the land.
Well, because, I know for a fact that I get a little overzealous at buffets. It's been my whole life. I really like eating, and I like buffets, and I think that they're a great American institution.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to get crazy with all of the things in there, because sometimes I tend to make a salad that's so big that I get full on the salad and then I don't get to enjoy the sauce serve ice cream machine at the end. Or the fact that this Sizzler has something that very few buffets have, Ken.
What's that?
They had the Mexican taco station.
Yeah, the taco station.
It's
yeah.
incredible. That taco meat reminds me of high school taco meat, which people may complain about.
No.
But that high school taco meat was great.
That connects to your past. That connects to your soul. Taco meat is the meat of your soul.
You feel it. The memories that you have with the consistency of that taco meat, which is probably from Cintas or Cisco, probably the same thing.
Cisco, yeah.
When you feel it,
the gloves too.
Yeah, they make everything. Yeah.
When you feel it on
your palate, and you see it, and you smell it, and you get that little bit right here in the chest, like right before heartburn kind of sets in. It's my friends from high school and I have a text chain all about Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
They don't even make it anymore. Mexican pizza in the cafeteria used to come in a hexagonal shape.
Yep, yep.
It was the greatest day in the history of the cafeteria.
Yeah. And what I want to really take a moment to give taco meat its due. Taco meat is a special kind of meat because it needs to have a certain kind of mush to it.
Yeah.
It needs to have shape and definition, but yet be one.
Well, the consistency of perhaps a cement.
Yeah.
But the cement hasn't melted yet.
Right.
But is still edible, right? Because sometimes taco meat, they cook all the beef and they don't chop it up fine enough. They put it in the taco and it falls off. There's just too much.
It clumps off. Yes.
And that's a terrible thing to waste because the clump off falls on the plate and then you're like, do I pick it up with my hand?
Right.
Do I get a fork?
And the clump off, I like a small amount of clump off. Like when I go to a Del Taco and
you can't avoid it.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got a little bit of their soft tacos. A little bit of clump off that's maybe one finger pinch is good. But if I have to consider getting a fork, there's been a failure in the meal.
Correct. A failure to communicate.
So I
see the taco bar and then I see the tostada shells and I think to myself, Josh, get the tostada.
Yeah.
You love a good tostada, but it didn't.
Right.
Because I knew that the tostada takes up a lot of room in the stomach. And I saw the nacho cheese sitting there, the stadium nacho cheese.
Just looking at you.
Going, hey, Josh, you haven't had me in a while.
Yeah.
You should probably partake in the gloriousness that is stadium nacho cheese. Because for me, and my body can't handle it, there's some sort of lactose intolerance inside my stomach.
Right.
That stadium nacho cheese does not agree with me, but I eat it every time it's offered to me, and I really don't care.
Well, I mean, it's not so much a cheese as it is just kind of a weird substance, a weird yellow substance.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter where you go.
No.
But that's kind of what makes it good.
It has a flavor unlike any other cheese you'll ever taste. I mean, Tostitos has been trying to jar that flavor forever.
Yes.
But you can't get it. The stadium nacho cheese, it's that perfect mixture of the fact that it comes out of basically a soft serve ice cream machine.
Right.
It sits in a metal container. It's poured over top of bland nacho chips.
Yeah.
And it has that, it must hit the air inside stadium air at the perfect temperature. To create that taste. You don't need the jalapenos, but you get them anyway.
Yeah. What's the success to good nacho cheese? The cheese and also what Dodger Stadium smells like. It's just you combine them at the perfect time.
Right.
You got it.
And the greatest part is you can get the nachos and get a hot dog and then dip the hot dog in the nacho cheese.
Whoa. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
But you went with the nachos here at Sizzler.
So I got the salad first.
You surveyed the land and it was like you were looking forward to the nachos.
Right.
You made a goal. And kids, it's important to make goals in life.
Well,
Uncle Josh just made some goals.
Correct, Ken. I think the most important part of buffet is timing.
Yes.
Segmenting. It's like a good talk show.
Yeah.
Right? You start, listen, it's a salad bar. You're going to get a salad.
Right.
And Sizzler, like most great salad bars, offer two types of lettuce. Some offer three, maybe even four, depending.
Yeah.
Now, you got your classic mixed greens, which I'm not a fan of because they always put carrots in it. And I'm allergic to carrots. I don't like carrots.
Oh,
I'm
not a big I didn't know you were allergic to carrots.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I steer clear of carrots.
I was wondering why you made that lettuce choice. Now I know.
Then I got the romaine. Then I knew on the side of the romaine, though, you were trending towards a dessert. There was pudding.
There's the custard.
There's the custard. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to put that on a thing. But I saw baby carrots, and I saw that baby corn.
Yeah.
The mini corns.
Yes.
Were all chopped up.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. And I, since Tom Hanks ate baby corn in Big, I've been a baby corn fan. They're delicious.
I think you don't find a lot of baby corn fans.
Whew,
baby carrots, yes. Baby corn, not so much. Mm-mm.
Baby corn for me is it. I think if Mark Ellis and I ever have a competition, it's baby corn versus baby carrots.
I think that should be your new Schmodown gimmick.
Okay.
You're allergic to carrots. I know you're allergic to a lot of nuts, and there's been some close incidents in your life. Let's just say you accidentally had a carrot. How close to dying in a Sizzler would you have been?
It's not like the strongest allergy. It just makes swallowing very uncomfortable.
Okay.
It could break me out in hives in certain places, my throat is very itchy.
So you would have been able to press on,
correct,
but no death.
Well, listen, you go into the buffet, you go. Going into war.
You
are battling. You went in there. You spent your $10.
Yeah.
You're getting everything out of it possible.
And you've mentioned some great things about buffet, the timing, surveying the land, knowing what fills you up.
Yep.
Bread's the easy answer, but you know that if you had that soup, that might have been it. Soup's a meal for a lot of people.
Now, had they had an exotic soup that I was in the mood for, because all they had was clam chowder, a beef vegetable, and a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Wasn't the greatest soup selection.
What are you considering exotic for you?
Maybe like a chicken tortilla or like an Italian wedding.
An Italian wedding soup?
You know.
Like what's in an Italian wedding soup?
It's basically chicken noodle, but instead of chicken, there's meatballs in it. And then you have the little pastina, which are like the little BBs of pasta, basically.
Right.
Escarole. It's
had that
heartier chicken broth, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
A little thicker thing. Yeah. So they had some good selections, but some straight ahead ones. So you knew
for sure.
You knew your meal could afford to lose the soup option.
So basically, the path that I took was making a tostada.
Yeah.
Without using the tostada shell, so I laid a base of romaine. I took some of that taco meat.
Yeah.
Took a little bit of cottage cheese instead of sour cream because I was trying to be healthy.
Okay.
Took some baby corn.
Yeah.
Some black olives. A little bit of bacon bits.
Right. Saw that.
No dressing.
Tough.
Because the meat and all of the other ingredients basically make it just a smorgasbord without the dressing.
Right. Well, you did good there with that meal to start out. But you did go back and create your own nachos.
I did. And what I didn't notice the first time around, which I had to check, there was a little tin that was unmarked by the classic markers that they have from the 1980s that was basically your high school math teacher's nameplate in your old high school, like Mr. Zakowski. That was his nameplate. It did not say guacamole on it. Didn't say an avocado dip, quote unquote. Okay?
Mushed avocado.
Mushed avocado with onion. It was a bucket of avocado that nobody had touched.
Right.
It was still green. It still looked delicious.
Right.
I got just plain nacho chips that were really good. I got to give the Sizzler credit.
On the nacho chips.
Fantastic.
And the cheese. You like the nacho cheese.
I like the chips.
And the chips.
Threw a little guac on there. Done and done. That was my first dessert.
That was your first dessert.
It was my salty dessert.
I had the traditional salad.
Sure.
Throw on some lima beans. I avoid the baby carrots. Excuse me. I avoid the baby corn.
Do you?
They crunch oddly in my mouth, and they also seem to be not quite human and more of science, more made in a laboratory. So I'm suspicious of that.
What do you think the thought process was, and where are those? They're not grown. You think they're created?
I'm sure they're grown. I'm sure someone out there will correct me, and I mean that in a nice way. Like let me know the process of baby corn. But to me, it always seems like they took a regular corn and planted it and then stunted its growth somehow.
Mm.
And I just don't trust that. It's like when you breed a dog.
Mm.
You're breeding a new kind of corn, and I'm not sure about that.
See, I'm a fan. I like the taste. I like the whole – I like being able to take what should have been a large ear of corn, take a big bite of it. I don't go Tom Hanks. I get it. Now, Ken, you said something about beans.
Yeah,
beans on the salad, huh?
It's not always, but I find when I'm at Sizzler, I do go for the lima beans. Actually, take it back. It's not lima beans. I keep saying lima beans. Kidney beans.
Ah.
Sorry about that.
Yield to kidney beans.
Sorry to the bean community. Kidney beans and olives and croutons are key. Carrots, I can give or take. But I like going for the little it reminds me of a prepackaged salad. I know it's the least healthy of the lettuce. It's the lettuce that doesn't give back. You maybe want to go put some spinach in there, okay. But it's like the white icebergy crunchy stuff.
I like the white icebergy crunchy as long as it doesn't have carrots. But
they have the carrots.
Yeah.
Then this time around, I'm trying to be healthy. So I added broccoli.
Oh, you know what? You know what's funny? Is I saw you start with the iceberg. And this, you went right in for it because you know the sizzler.
I know the deal.
You know where things are located.
I've already flown around in my helicopter.
Yeah, you can avoid the beets
right.
And some of those mystery items that you know have been there for 3 to 4 days and nobody's eaten them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw you go right for the broccoli, and I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I'll throw a couple pieces of broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't eat much of the broccoli.
It's good. The broccoli quality was good. It was fresh. Yeah. There were smaller little stalks, so that you didn't have to worry about them sogging out. But yeah, that's what I go. But here's where this big sacrifice for me. I always say I have like tastes that connect to the situation. Like I chips and salsa. I had to work really hard to break the habit of always having a diet soda with it because there was some Pavlovian dog type thing. Mm-hmm. Chip salsa, I crave a diet Pepsi or something like that. So when I go to Sizzler, I crave Thousand Island dressing.
Okay.
And their Thousand Island dressing might be 2,000 calories. It's thick enough to repaste a wall. Yeah.
It's an Elmer's glue dressing.
Yeah, and it's so good.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Thousand Island dressing.
It'd be great on a Reuben.
A Reuben, yeah. Oof. And we had a Sizzler down the street from my house as a kid, and we'd go a lot. It was like a good night out for the family.
Of course.
And we get
it's not cheap.
It's not cheap, no. Yeah. I mean, for lower middle class family growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was an adventure. And so I loved the Thousand Island. Almost as much as I love the cheese toast. But today I went with the balsamic.
You know what's funny? I also noticed that.
Yeah.
My eyes were darting all over the place, Ken, because I was researching your plate as well as trying to concentrate on my plate because there are a lot of pitfalls in a salad bar. There are.
Yeah.
There's only so much room on the plate.
Yes.
And you don't want falling off.
And you could stack too high.
Correct.
I've learned a little bit when to put the croutons on. You have to maybe still have a layer of things to go on top of the croutons.
So instead of using the really good yet terrible for you Thousand Island, you instead went croutons to even it out.
Yes. Well, yes. A lot of
crouton guy.
I know you aren't.
You know how you said you didn't like the consistency of a baby corn?
Yeah.
I don't like the consistency of a crouton.
The crunchiness?
Doesn't go well.
You don't like hard bread.
Yeah.
Hard, square bread.
Toast.
Good.
Toast. Stale hardness.
Because good toast is a little mushy, too.
Yeah.
As we've learned today, a little mushy is good in a lot of things.
Agreed.
Yeah. And here's the sacrifice when you go with balsamic. I like to use the Thousand Island or ranch, wherever. And this isn't just Sizzler specific.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm stacking my own salad and you put stuff on there and get little veggies and you put the bacon bits and you put the croutons,
sure.
I like to seal it all in with the dressing. You drizzle that over, so then you have less chance for fall off walking back to your table because the dressing's kind of holding everything down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we got this. I went the balsamic. But balsamic drips straight to the bottom, and then you got croutons just flailing about they're passengers in the Titanic about to fall down.
I was just going to say, Rose took the crouton. Jack is out there swimming in nothing.
Yeah, and you know, like the guy that falls off and hits it and bing, that's what one of my croutons was about to do.
Yeah, you're rolling a dicey. What, listen, you know what you know based solely on your dressing purposes. When you go off the wall dressing thinking it'll be the same and it's not, you're thrown off a bit.
It could be a wild adventure out there, but I felt good. And then
your second trip go round.
Okay, that
was impressive.
Do you want to describe it maybe for the audience?
I
made some choices here.
You did.
I made some big choices.
So we go up for our second round, and I went full nachos because as soon as I sat down, I said, can't wait to get through this salad so I can eat some just nacho cheese on chips.
And eating the veggies first, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
It's like getting your homework out of
just
the way.
Just to get a base.
Yeah.
Ken goes huge with the mac and cheese. It wasn't just a scoop. I mean, that was a couple go-rounds of the mac and cheese train. The large speared potatoes.
Yeah.
And I believe there was some pasta on the plate?
There wasn't, but here's what happened. So here... I love mac and cheeses. Okay. You know, me and JTE, sure. who I can't wait to get him to Sizzler.
I kind of want to just come and hang out for that Sizzler.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I love the mac and cheese. Often, I'll take their little soup dish, mm-hmm. and I'll use that for the mac and cheese.
See, that's smart.
Yeah.
At least you know how much you're putting in there.
I can limit. I can mm-hmm. limit. Mm-hmm. I went a little crazy. 2.5 spoonfuls of mac and cheese. Because I'm a little hungry today. Didn't have breakfast.
Okay.
And then I had three of the wedge French fries, the they're wedge big. Potato.
That's like a whole potato, basically.
And I limited myself to that. All right, being good. And then I had three or four what I thought might have been like a chicken McNugget.
Oh.
Little disappointed to report when I bit in, it was corn.
Yeah, I think it was like a corn fritter.
Yeah. And then I had 5 meatballs. No pasta, but 5 meatballs.
The mixture of all that right now is you were a literal map of the world. You had American mac and cheese. You had your Italian meatball. You had your ballpark potato.
Right.
You really did it. I did it.
And I felt... I think I might pay for that later.
Uh-huh.
I've lost 4 pounds in the last week.
Really?
And I...
Hot Sizzler nights being interrupted by an Amazon.
Let me go back to... I've lost 4 pounds in the last week, so I wanted to kind of keep momentum a little bit. I'm trying to get back down to my playing weight here again. About a year ago, I lost. I was, you know, at a good number.
You don't look big. There was a point.
Yeah, there's a point.
When I don't want to, like, I mean, listen, I hit a max weight after my honeymoon that was brutal.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, there was a point when those suits were looking a little tight. But now you're looking svelte.
I'm getting back down. And I got the Bodatorium in the apartment here. But it's about what you eat. That's the big thing. So I know this show is a special occasion. But so I went a little crazy here. I might have paid for it a little bit. Uh-huh. The mac and cheese, the meatballs. Sizzler, the salad bar, as Mark Riley found, that's kind of what launched this entire show, is Mark and I just happened to go there.
Yeah.
Because it's nearby. And... He made some weird choices with mac and cheese that I respected.
Did he put taco meat on it?
No, he put something else on top of it for a space issue.
Ah.
He needed it. And I was like, oh, why did you put the, I forget what it was. My listeners might remember because we talked about it on our episode.
Okay.
It was like a chicken tender on your mac and cheese. This is why I didn't have room.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's good use of your room.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I
Mark Riley, the IKEA of buffets.
Right. Yeah. So I felt the meatballs, sans pasta, but mixed with the mac and cheese was a risk I was willing to take.
And I will say this, I've rarely been, maybe never, to a meal with a person who has ordered mac and cheese as his meal. A couple times at Yard House, you ordered the mac and cheese as your meal. I was like, wow, Ken,
you're
a man. You are a man's man, and I'm not judging you. I really appreciate your style.
I consider myself a bit of a mac and cheese connoisseur.
Yeah.
And JT does too. That's where one of the early connections that JT and I had as friends. We're like, oh, mac and cheese. It's not just like a little hobby for us. It's something we put some effort into.
Uh-huh. Smart.
I don't have like detailed charts, but it's there. So anyways, that was good. That's where I went. But I'm glad you noticed some of the weird choices I made.
I wouldn't say weird. They were bold. Bold choices.
That's fair.
You were a bold buffet man.
Bold. Yeah. Well, you know, I always feel like I go a little tame now with the salad. I keep it normal.
Okay.
And then I take some kind of risk.
Yeah.
A bold buffet man.
Sure. Your first half, you're just running the ball. You're throwing some dump passes.
Yeah.
Second half, first and 10, you're going the 40-yard bomb.
You come out of halftime with a lead.
Yeah.
And you're like, let's really cement this lead.
Just crush it.
Do a flea flicker. a quarterback goes around on and goes out for the pass, and the wide receiver throws it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I might
have
done here.
That's your mac and cheese.
Which leads us kind of to dessert.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, I know you and I, we both love to eat. Sometimes we struggle, not struggle with weight, but just like we're sometimes
beefy dudes.
Yeah. And so give or take a few pounds, it could look different on us. And I know you and I struggle with that, and we have goals we're always trying to reach.
Sure.
You go work out in the park a lot more than I do. I wasn't sure if you were going to commit to dessert. I got to be honest with you.
Well, here's the thing is I don't have per se a sweet tooth.
Okay.
But
you're lucky. Yeah.
There is a part of me that after every salty meal, say at a buffet, right. if I know that there is, because usually I'll just drink enough iced tea that like keeps my mouth cold,
right.
and that's my sweet tooth, right?
That's good.
But if there is a sweet available,
yeah.
especially a soft serve ice cream machine at a buffet, and you don't take advantage of it,
yeah.
you blew it.
I feel you're not living life to the fullest.
Really, you're not. And I haven't had ice cream in a while. I haven't even had frozen yogurt in a while. And I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like once a week, just go to Pinkberry and grab yeah. something with a few toppings on it,
sure.
whatever. But if you're there and you see the soft serve staring yeah. you down out of the corner of the restaurant after you've had your nachos, you've had yeah. your healthy salad, there's no point in going over there, especially when they also have an apple crisp, a bread right. pudding.
Which you use to full advantage.
Basically, I made a sundae with the apple crisp.
Yeah.
Just the innards of the apple crisp and the innards of the bread pudding. Because there was nobody really going at those.
Yeah.
Just vanilla. I'm a plain vanilla guy. I know yeah. there's a lot of people that...
I went vanilla, too. A lot of people go swirl.
Yeah. I'm not a big swirl guy.
Okay.
Not a big chocolate guy.
I'm okay with it, but today I wanted to commit to one side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went vanilla, put a little apple, a little bread pudding. Gotta yeah. tell you, it was a little warm. It melted the ice cream a little bit, which I'm not yeah. a huge fan of.
Yeah. Slurpy.
But it was a
Slurpy.
Great conclusion
so
to the meal.
One of the when Lon Harris was on Hot Sizzler Nights, mm-hmm. the first official episode, he spoke highly of the Sizzler bread pudding.
It was delicious.
You felt it was a victory?
Fantastic. And I love bread pudding. I love rice pudding. Big rice pudding guy.
Yeah, I'm not. I wish I was.
Okay.
So you touched upon the soft serve thing and the self-serve soft serve. Now, you go to a yogurt shop nowadays, more often than not, the Froyo shop, even now Pinkberry at a lot of locations, yeah. they'll let you do it yourself.
Correct.
Times have changed. When I was a kid, no. You went to the
TCBY.
Counter. Yeah.
And they,
right.
remember? And,
yeah.
and then you got your flavor and that was that.
And I still, when I go back home to my mom and dad, they go to like an independent yogurt shop. This nice married couple owns it. You tell them and they'll make it for you.
Correct.
And that's how I grew up. That's how the 80s were, kids.
I think that's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
Do you know why, Ken?
Why?
Because I think there's a lot of people out there taking advantage of the fact they have... They self-serve.
Yeah.
They go in there, they get all the taster cups, and they leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is an American institution.
Yeah.
It's not a free-for-all, people. You don't go into a bar and take a little bit of tequila, a little bit of vodka, a little bit of whiskey.
Imagine that? Can I have a sample of the tequila? Thank you. Can I have a sample of the whiskey?
You're going to sample my foot up your ass.
Go up yourself.
That's the old bartender in
yeah,
me.
The old, yeah.
Sample
the,
my foot in your ass.
Yeah, I'm okay with some samples, but I think there's some sample abuse going on.
100%.
But anyways, I grew up, so I sometimes, when I walk into like a Sizzler, and they've got the ice cream, and it's not Froyo, they got the soft serve ice cream, and you could essentially take a plate.
Yes.
And get as much of that soft serve ice cream as you want. I think it ties back to childhood desires and not having the rules of ice cream and society's ice cream standards pressed upon you. That you can just go do what you want to do. If you want to get a swirl, you want to get a vanilla, you want to put... And I think it connects to some childhood kind of desire and dream.
Well, when we were kids,
yeah,
like you said, going to Sizzler or even Haas's or
Ponderosa...
Because my mom's line was always like, let's stop at McDonald's. She's like, there's food in the house, right? And being able, because you would watch those people at McDonald's or at Dairy Queen actually use those things.
Yes.
Fill up the cone, and it looks so exotic.
Yeah.
And just
it's like you're working heavy machinery down at the factory.
Yeah. And so when you got that chance to finally pull that handle on the soft serve, dreams were coming true. Every inch of that soft serve, Ken, coming out either in cone or in a bowl or anything like that. And you realize when you first pulled that lever that it was way harder to make that perfect spiral in an ice cream cone than you thought. Because it's difficult.
It's like you want to go back and apologize to all the high school kids working the DQ when you were like 10.
Yes.
You didn't appreciate the art. Because that's kind of what it is. Do you ever have the fear... like I have it when I go to the Sizzler or when you go to like a Froyo shop and you're doing it yourself. Do you have a fear that you're going to get it wrong and you can't stop it in time?
Yeah, all the time.
It's like a nightmare.
It's like when you get fountain soda. We've been able to perfect that over the years.
Yes.
Ice cream, we don't do it enough to know how to perfect.
You don't have enough hands-on ice cream skill.
Especially with a cone. It could tip. It falls over. You ruin the whole thing.
I'm intimidated by the cone. If you noticed, actually both of us used the soup bowl for the ice cream.
It's
and no one in that restaurant batted an eye.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're gonna look at it in terms of professional sports, right?
Yeah.
The double A ball player goes for the soup bowl.
Yes.
The triple A ball player, he's close to the majors. He goes for that ice cream, that plastic cup.
Yep.
And the professional goes cone because he's got the confidence of a cone maker.
He might even dip that cone in the chocolate syrup there. Yeah, that's right. And no one in that restaurant, they're like, look, there's two more guys taking soup bowls to the ice cream machine.
Nobody came out to yell at us?
Yeah, no one came out to. No, absolutely not.
There's no judging.
We went to Sizzler a little different time, even though this is Hot Sizzler Nights. Our schedule.
It's always Hot Sizzler
Nights. It is. And hopefully you guys are listening at night. But we went there with the sun still out.
Yeah.
You surprised the clientele good there? You got what you expected from the clientele?
Listen, when I first walked in, you heard what I said. I was like, this place is glorious because there's, yeah. I love diners. Mm-hmm. I love place with booths.
Yeah.
I love, you know, that smell booth. Of the restaurant's been there for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting to walk in and Ruth's Chris and all of a sudden Owen Wilson comes out and he's like, wow, this restaurant's great. Wow. But I walked in there.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a guy ordering with his wife.
Yeah.
He had Legends, I think, of it was a golf course in Florida that I'd recognize.
Oh, yeah.
A really nice golf course.
Yeah.
His wife was attractive.
Yeah.
I looked to our right. There was another attractive couple sitting there at the Sizzler.
Right. Older,
there was a couple
distinguished.
There was a couple of work guys, some construction guys, which makes sense. It's a great lunch spot if you're a construction worker.
One guy had a shirt on that just said in big, bold red letters, retired.
Sizzler is a perfect place for retirement.
Yeah.
There was your typical heavyset family sitting around a table at a buffet, which, you know, buffet owners.
There, but for the grace of God, go.
Correct.
On. Yeah.
But I think the clientele was spot on.
Yeah.
There wasn't an incident. We got a window seat. It was clean. The waitress was great.
Maria was great.
Fantastic.
She was great. She was right.
Refilled my iced tea four times.
Four times. Come on. Ample plate coverage.
Yes.
Not afraid to come back and ask us. Because I think I have sympathy for the wait staff there.
Oh.
If you're seeing two gentlemen or anyone go down for the buffet and you want to, if you keep coming back up, you want a clean plate, you might be insulting them, even though it's your job.
Yeah.
You might feel like, hey, you want another one there, Piggy? You want to eat some more scarf, huh? And she had no fear. She just, you guys look like you need another plate.
And we got it.
And we got it.
And she was more than happy. She was smiley. She was lovely.
Yeah.
She really brought the whole meal together, Ken.
Yeah. And I was, this time around, remembered to bring cash for a tip.
Smart.
The first time with Mark Riley, I forgot to do that.
Ooh.
Last time, forgot to do that. But this time with you, you were on my A game.
You made me get on my A game.
It was good.
Me. And good. Let's tell the audience, this is the second time we've been to a buffet together.
Yes.
We are buffet men now, Ken.
We could create...
Like the old West, there were cattlemen and ranchers and men of many different trades. We, sir, are buffet men.
What are you, an iron worker, steel worker? You build the railroads?
No.
Buffet men.
What does that do? We eat at buffets.
Is that a new show on AMC? Buffet men.
It's a reality show of guys that professionally buffet.
Yes, pitch this show. Well, we got to trademark that show right now. And, you know, there's a great song by U2 called The Men That Built America.
Yes.
The Men That Buffet America. we can get that. Bono.
For sure.
He's good. We're the same size.
I believe in our band he's called Bufano.
Bufano?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun to go with you and kind of see your choices. I really respect a lot of the things you brought to this session here.
I will say if I made one mistake today, it was that I put too many black olives on my salad. They were a little saltier than I'm used to.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. What do you think is the draw of the olives?
I love black olives. I love my pizza and everything like that. But you know, the thing about the buffets is I don't know what company provides the actual buffet, but one company has provided the tongs for buffets
for
years.
Probably Cisco.
Cisco.
Yeah.
Guessing Cisco. They're a little too small. And usually what I do is I expand them with both hands and then dig them in like a construction. And then they clamp together and then I get a bunch. And I think I just got too many black olives. I go overzealous on black olives a little too often.
Do you, one final question here as we start to wrap up here is, do you trust the sneeze guard? Do you trust that it's done its job?
Keep
drool and spittle and snot out?
Maybe not for kids.
Yeah, there's kids.
Because you're a little
impossible.
Low.
Yeah.
You know, you're real low with the kids. I think for me, though, 100%, because there's sometimes when I have my plate under that sneeze guard and I'm going like, and I'm looking.
You're looking through. You're using it for what it's supposed to do.
And if it hasn't been cleaned, I feel blind. I'm going blind.
Yeah. I this time I worked really hard on not being a squatter, which is, you know, someone who ducks below and reaches in and out. And I get it because sometimes it's just, you know, oh, there's
something. I got a lot of arm hair, Ken.
Yeah. I don't want this. So I really kept to the rules and regulations of the sneeze guard this time around. But I was wondering if you felt like I did. Sometimes I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. And that is done. Josh McCuga.
Ken.
You've done it. You've come in here on the Knapsack Files. And you and I had, you know, we had the free time to do this.
We did.
Our Tuesday afternoon was open for a reason. So it's good to work with you again and more
always
coming.
Always a pleasure.
But I do want to tell the folks where they can find you and follow you. You got a lot of things cooking yourself.
Yeah. At Josh McCuga on Twitter and Instagram. Obviously, the Josh McCuga Show on YouTube. You guys can see me every either Monday or Wednesday night, depending on WGN Movies for America. Right. Just actually did a cool live stream with Anna Paquin about the new show Bellevue. So that was kind of a blast. She's pretty awesome.
Right.
Got a new show coming out on my channel pretty soon. We're going to start teasing it. Maybe the wife is involved in it.
Ooh.
So it should be a lot of fun. And just going to start uploading a lot more content to my channel.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. That's what both of us are doing and having a lot of fun doing it.
For sure.
It's been fun. More to come. You guys can follow me at Ken Knapsack. We do have a Patreon page for the Knapsack Files, patreon.com/TheKnapsackFiles. Currently, there is a goal up there that I'm trying to reach. It's a Game of Thrones related thing, and you never know. Josh McCuga might have something to do with that as well. And one of the goals reached was you, me, and Mark Ellis watching The Office Space.
Yeah.
Due to schedules, it's been a little hard to get.
The Office Space, is that a mix of The Office?
Yeah, The Office Space. What's the we're gonna get that. We're finally got a date in mind. We're gonna get that happening. I want to update my Patreon supporters who made that goal happen. It's finally on the way.
The beautiful part is it's gonna be like a dude's night. It's a weekend night that we have planned for right now.
Yeah, for at least right now.
Watch Office Space, drink some whiskeys, have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that is that. Follow me on Patreon if you want. Knapsack Files, you know where it's available. A lot of places, including iHeartRadio. So that is it, man. Josh McCuga,
thank you, Ken. Blast. Thanks for lunch. I appreciate it.
Hot sizzler.